a virtuous people are capable of freedom. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. Of course, Ben Franklin famously said that, highlighting the belief that a virtuous citizenry is essential for a successful self-governing society. Without a foundation of character and ethics, self-government is not a thing. It just is not going to work. And what we want, what we have is a high trust society. And what's essential for a high trust society is that individuals must pursue duty over self-interest. We must contribute more than we take out. We understand that our choices ripple outward and impact others, and we have to align our personal behavior, our personal restraint, with public trust. Makes sense. So virtue is essential. It's essential to the whole enterprise. It's essential for an individual to be successful, to realize potential, to be happy and healthy. And a society is, of course, made up of individuals. So if I want my household, my family to be successful, I have to be virtuous in my behavior towards them. They must be virtuous in their behavior towards me. And if we do that and we extend that beyond the borders or the boundaries of our home into our neighborhoods, into our towns, into our cities, and into our state, into our country, then it all works. But if we don't, then it doesn't work. Is it that simple? Yes. But that's not simple at all, because being a virtuous person, turns out, is really hard. It's really hard because it means that we are opting, we are choosing, we are making the choice to pursue discomfort. Not all the time, but sometimes, a good chunk of the time. We are going to do what's meaningful, not what's expedient. We are going to put in and invest versus simply extracting and taking. If all we're doing is taking, well, it doesn't work then. There will be no money left over for the rest of us. There will be no resources left over for others if we just take everything for ourselves. If we are selfish actors, if we are not virtuous, doesn't work. Something that I know we need to spend more time thinking about and considering, which is why I've been thinking and considering about this an awful lot lately. You look around what's going on in our country, in the world, and everything else. I think that we have we are losing sight of the value of a high trust, well-functioning society, and what it takes for individuals to do that. So I want to do a quick overview of what a really high trust, what that means, what a high trust society is, and then get into what that means from an individual level of what we need to be doing and how we can better be additive versus just subtractive. So a high trust society is one in which people generally expect others, we're talking strangers, our public institutions, our leaders, to act honestly, fairly, and reliably. And so what that does is it creates stable footing, a strong foundation of cooperation, economic prosperity, social cohesion, and democratic stability. So there's a lot that goes into that. Each one of these is an essential component. It's essential. You have to have each one of these. We have to have the rule of law. So have to have a fair and legal, impartial justice system. Laws have to be applied equally to everybody, regardless of their status, regardless of wealth, regardless. We need to apply the laws equally to everyone. We need consistent enforcement of these laws. Justice must be predictable and transparent. It must be cause and effect. If you break the law, this is the consequence that you will face. We have to be able to protect property rights and contracts. We have to believe that when we enter into an agreement, that it's going to be honored, that my interests will be protected. We need to have transparent and accountable institutions. We can't tolerate corruption at any level. When public officials act in the public interest, it works. When public officials act in their self-interest, it doesn't work. Same thing. We need accountability mechanisms. We need checks and balances. We need a free press. We need to audit these institutions. And we need citizen oversight to help ensure leaders serve the people. How are we doing there lately? We need competence. Institutions must be effective and capable of delivering the services that they promise, that we invested in, and solving the problems that they are tasked with solving. How are we doing there? How are our elected officials doing in that circumstance? I don't know. I don't think that they're doing very well. Cultural norms and shared values. Honesty and integrity are essential social expectations that discourage lying, cheating, and stealing. So that has to be the norm. High trust means I trust the people in society to act in a certain way. That if I turn my back, you're not going to stab me or steal my wallet. You're not going to steal my car. If I go out of town, you're not going to move into my house. This isn't rocket science. Reciprocity and fairness are essential. People must trust more when they believe others will return kindness and fairness. Trust is established when I know if I am a good actor in this exchange that you are also going to be that way. That you're going to stop at red lights and not just blow right through them. That we're going to look out for the neighbor's kids. We're going to look out for one another. We're going to look out for the elderly people down the road. Whatever it is, we have to trust that if we engage in a cooperative manner, that that will be reciprocated and the cooperation will come back to me. We have to take a long-term view on these things, on society itself. We have to invest in the future, in relationships, in education, and institutions. If I'm just in it for me, and in the short time that I'm around, it doesn't work. That's why birth rate is a really, 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 really dangerous thing. And it's not just because there's not going to be any people left. It's because if you don't have kids, then you don't really have a vested interest in the future. We can have a conversation about that, but I think that that's a fundamental thing. And we have to be invested in the future. But even beyond that, part of this that it works is that new people come into the equation as babies and old people exit through death, because that's what we human beings do. We rely on new people coming in and old people exiting. We also rely on younger people putting money into the Social Security program, which pays for current older people who are taking out. So it's this balance, it's this equilibrium, which is obvious, but if we don't think about it, then we sort of forget about it. We need to have a strong civil society where people are engaged, that we participate in local and national organizations, and then we're going to build trust within different diverse groups within the country. We need social capital. We need networks of relationships, people cooperating, mutual support. That's why we have alumni associations and different groups of affinities, just all different kinds of groups with various interests. You're doing your thing, but we're all cooperating and mutually supporting each other. We need to have economic opportunity. Things need to be meritocratic. Meritocratic, that means we reward based on merit, not on some other characteristics. When people believe that success is based on effort and talent, not favoritism or manipulation, trust rises. When people believe that your success or the success that they're going to enjoy or not is based on effort and talent, not favoritism and or manipulation, trust rises. You know what happens when you go the opposite way? When people believe that success is based on favoritism and manipulation, not effort and talent, trust declines. It evaporates. Where do we see this in society, if anywhere? All that being said, we need safety nets that are in place. So we need a basic level of social support that ensures that people don't feel abandoned or desperate, or we don't just throw people away. So that's essential. We need to have reliable information and communication. We have to feel like we know what's really going on, that we know the truth. And if we don't feel like that, we're going to start searching for answers in other places. And unfortunately, what we have right now, or what's necessary is a free and responsible media. Free and responsible. That means that they are not in the pocket of some big interest of big pharma or whatever, big food, big government, big military, you name it. When that happens, when we feel like there's corruption or they're putting their thumb on the scale, we're going to turn our back. And why wouldn't we? Because when they do that, they've abdicated their responsibility. Pure and simple. So we have to have an independent journalism that promotes transparency and helps expose abuses. We have to have that. We have to have shared reality, which is called the truth. It needs to be accepted. That's why this idea of misinformation, disinformation, or malinformation, it's true, but it's dangerous because the people that are telling us that one side is misinformation or malinformation or disinformation, we don't believe what they're, we don't trust them. And if Republicans and Democrats both have a TV channel, then it's just propaganda. That's all it is. It is simply propaganda. Is it state-sponsored? Sometimes it's not. It's just bias. And that's a shame because it is better and essential in a high-trust, well-functioning society that we believe that the information that we're receiving is true and accurate, and we can all agree on those facts. It has to be true. We need low inequality, and we need social mobility. When there are extreme disparities in wealth and power, there is going to be resentment and suspicion. People must have the opportunity to advance. People have to believe that the system works for people like me, not just for other people. I mean, the idea of a caste system where you're just where you're at forever, that's been a part of the human condition for a really long time, the human experience. But in a high trust, well-functioning society like I'm talking about, that's not the way. And we can't have that. So we have to feel like we can get ahead, like we can have better lives than that of our parents, the people that came before us, whatever it might be, that we have the ability to reach our ultimate potential, whatever that might be. We need to have a healthy historical memory and reconciliation. So we have to acknowledge past wrongs, just like we need to do that in our personal lives. And I screwed up. This was a mistake. This is a blemish on our history, but not one we're going to turn away from. Not the one that we're going to try to cover up. It's one that we're going to face and move forward accordingly. So that's appreciative, additive, important. We need to be able to forgive and heal. We need to be able to forgive and to heal. We digress upon each other all the time. I did something bad. I need to be able to apologize for it. I need to be able to receive forgiveness. So I think that when we're able to do this, we find that trust begets trust. It's this virtuous cycle, a positive feedback loop. When people are trusting, when people experience trustworthiness, we're more likely to trust in others and to behave in ways that propagate more trust. So all that makes sense. Right? It all makes sense. What's your and my role in it? Again, I talked right at the top that we need to be virtuous people. And being virtuous means that I build myself up to be capable of just about anything, but I act in a beneficial way. So if I'm capable of kindness, which I am, that I am kind to both myself and others, and not a colossal jerk. And it's easy, and sometimes it feels good to give somebody a piece of my mind or to give somebody their comeuppance, but it's not beneficial. I need to be kind. If I have the ability to perform in an excellent fashion in my work, as a husband, as a dad, as a friend, then I need to do that. When I choose to phone it in and to slack off and to not operate in an excellent way with excellence, well, then I'm not being virtuous. And this is hard, again. So being a virtuous person means that I do things that are uncomfortable because there is a greater good in there. Being virtuous means that, yeah, I have the ability to eat ice cream for every meal. I have the ability to get drunk, in the morning, every day, but I don't. I don't eat ice cream with every meal. I'm not getting effed up all the time. I'm exercising, going to the gym. I'm doing uncomfortable things. I'm reading. I'm learning new information. I'm consuming valuable things as opposed to just zoning out and scrolling through social media on my phone or whatever. You get it. So that's what it takes. John Kennedy famously said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. It's important that I focus on myself, but not in the way that that maybe sounds or that you think. It has nothing to do with my self-interest, even though that kind of does. But it's not narcissism. It's not a prideful thing. It's focusing on myself and recognizing how it is I'm behaving. Am I behaving in a virtuous fashion? And how am I impacting the other people? What is my impact? What is my wake on the people that I'm coming into contact with? Am I adding into this equation or am I simply taking out? Am I putting in or am I taking out? And it's got to be a continuous loop for a society to function. New people are born, old people are dying, people are adding into the equation, people are taking out of the equation. But if we're just all taking out and we're only focused on number one, I can't see past the bridge of my nose. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's this paradox of self-focus. It's about self-responsibility. It's about personal responsibility. You and I taking ownership of ourselves, how I act, what I'm contributing, the impact that I'm having. Am I adding or am I just taking out? That's the heartbeat. So your role, my role in a high trust, high functioning society, it's a self-focus that's not selfish. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. What can you do for yourself? What can you do for your family? What can you do for your neighborhood, for your town, for your city, your state, your country? It's not thinking that way is not narcissism or individualism. It is just essential. It's being accountable for your choices. It's taking care of your responsibilities. It's making yourself stronger and improving yourself so you can better contribute. And while you and I are not the center of the world, your behavior is absolutely radiating out and impacting and affecting everybody else. So we need to focus and be additive versus subtractive. Are you leaving things better than when you found them? Are you bringing positive energy? Are you bringing honesty? Are you bringing your highest level of effort? And are you being kind? Other people are just taking. They're exploiting any trust that they might have. They're taking shortcuts. They're sowing division. They're avoiding responsibility. That is what a subtractive person does. They have a level of trust, which has either been given to them or earned or taken, but they have it, and they exploit that trust. They take shortcuts. They sow division instead of unity, and they take no responsibility for any of it. I see this all over politics right now. Our politicians, by the very nature of their office, have trust, but they're exploiting it. They're taking shortcuts all over the place. Instead of passing one bill for one issue, they just cram all of it together in a 10,000-word page document that nobody's ever going to read. They're more divisive than they are than they are bringing people together. And I don't see any of them taking responsibility. So, for you and I, are you depositing into society's bank account? Or are you just always taking money out? So there's this loop, this generational reciprocity that I touched on. Young people give labor, energy, innovation, child rearing. Older people receive care, respect, and the fruits of past investments that they have made. Eventually, the loop switches, or rather the roles switch. You go from paying in to taking out. The loop continues. Or it stops right in its tracks. I mean, when the loop breaks, trust is broken. You're like, oh, these people just took. They kept taking and taking and taking. They never give. So it's demotivating. It's disenfranchising. It's nothing but a positive. It's nothing but a really negative thing. So you have a footprint. You are leaving tracks. You can call it your trust footprint. Every person contributes to the collective in some form or fashion. So, think about this. Did you show up on time? Did you keep your word? Did you do your job with care, even when nobody's watching? Are you telling the truth? Do you respect our common spaces? Do you respect the roads? Do you respect the parks? I was driving around with my kids this weekend, and certain parts of the place we drove past said, oh, look at that. It looks so nice. People worked extra hard to make this a really nice space. But then a couple of blocks later, it was garbage all over the side of the road. It's like, oh, this looks terrible. And it's comes down to you and I. Are we just going to throw garbage out the window? Or are we going to throw garbage in the trash can and not litter? Take that one step further. Maybe I'm going to bring a garbage bag to the park next time and pick up a couple of things. So I'm very much... That's addition through subtraction, obviously. So every one of these actions, it's either reinforcing trust or it is eroding trust. And of course, self-governance is the root of all governance. The less people govern themselves, the more rules, enforcement, and surveillance are needed. So there you go. As we continue slipping more towards the Orwellian 1984 version of society, it's just because we are failing to govern ourselves. And if we can't govern ourselves, well, we're going to need more rules. We're going to need more enforcement. And we're going to need mom to look at us all the time. What part of that sounds good to you? None of that sounds good to me. So, making the shift from entitlement to stewardship. Maybe that's something that we need to do. And of course it is. All of these are things. So it's not, I deserve, I'm going to get mine, to I'm responsible. Shift, I deserve, to I'm responsible. All lead. All look for areas and opportunities where responsibility has been abdicated by those that we put in charge or we tapped or hoped, put our faith in that these people would do the things in the right way. If they're not going to, well, then I will. I'm responsible. I'll lead is the attitude that it's going to take to get back to a successful, high-functioning, high-trust society. What you do doesn't happen in a vacuum. Choose to live in a way that increases trust, honors the social fabric, recognizing where you are at in your life. Are you building? Are you benefiting? Are you putting in? Are you taking out? And just behave in a way that you're giving evidence to the world that you believe and are a virtuous person. And you believe that a high trust, high functioning society is a better one than a low trust, low functioning society where it just doesn't work. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you do for your country. And of course, you do your part by doing your best.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.